Just for a little bit, and it probably will be for a little bit this time, and no joke, but I want to talk to you about the temptations that we face, and you know, being a Christian does not make you exempt from trouble. It doesn't make you immune to temptations. And so I want you to look in, the Apostle Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice what he says there. He's talking about Israel, and I thought Robbie did a good job about teaching today, and I appreciate that. That's basically the problem with everything, is people want to make us Israel. And we're not Israel. We're ministers of the New Testament, and it's the spirit of the New Testament, not the letter. But we are a spiritual body, but yet we face temptations. And notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice what he said in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Isn't that something? A rock following them? You say, "Well, you believe?" I believe that. "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now the things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. You'll find that in Numbers 25. And it had to do with Balak, teaching, or Balaam, teaching Balak how to get the children of Israel, how to get God to destroy them and curse them, after he wouldn't curse them or couldn't curse them. And that fornication has to do with them bowing down to other gods. Neither, verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents." And that'd be in Numbers 21. Remember, as the serpents came out and bit them, and they began to cry, and the Lord said, "Well, put a brass serpent on a pole, and whoever who looks at it would be healed," representing of Christ. Verse 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." That'd be in Numbers 14. You could find that in verse 27. "All of these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore," and here's the whole reason why Paul said they're written for our admonition and our warning us, "wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Your trial, your temptation, whatever you're going through, is nothing unique about it. Somebody else has already went through it. Whatever the problem is, there's somebody in the body of Christ has already went through that same situation. You say, well, mine's different. No, it's not. Why? How do I know that? Because of what he said right there. He said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I like that, don't you? God is faithful. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how bad it seems. God is faithful. You can put your trust in Him. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Bear what? The temptation. He didn't say that God is faithful and not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also take it away. He didn't promise you that He'd take the whatever the problem is away. He just said He promised you He'd make a way of escape so you could bear it. He'd give you the grace to bear it. I think about what Paul, look over in chapter 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And notice what he says in there's another passage. We'll get to that later. He said in notice in verse 7, after he received a revelation, he said in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he called this thing in another passage in Galatians. He said he had the temptation of his flesh. It was given to Paul something in his flesh that humiliated him. It was like a thorn, and it was a thorn in the flesh. It caused him pain and anguish, and he couldn't get out of it. And he said, for this thing, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. Now you've got to realize, Paul, here's a man that told another man and smote him and made him blind. Here's a man that healed people. Here's a man that had the power to touch somebody and raise them up. And he could not do nothing for himself. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, the Lord now, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the weakness of your flesh. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul said, I'll endure it. If that means the power of Christ on me, I'd rather have my infirmities. But the point is, he had that thorn till the day he died. And whatever it was, whether it was his eyes, I know he told the Galatian church, he said, you saw my temptation in the flesh, and you see, if it were possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them unto me. And now I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And it could have been something about Paul's eyes that he couldn't see good, or it was something that bothered him and it humiliated him in public, and people would probably turn their head from him when they seen him. And Paul's flesh, and he prayed, Lord, let this my grace, Paul, is sufficient. And I want to tell you, whatever the problems that you might face in your life, whatever the heartaches that might come your way, whatever the disappointments are and the valleys of the sin that you go through, I want to tell you that God's grace is just as efficient and just as sufficient today as it was in the days of the Apostle Paul. And God is still faithful to take care of His body. And He always will. He'll never, ever leave you. Now I want to talk to you about them temptations. And I think I want you to turn to Luke and look at Christ. In Luke chapter 4, and I was studying this, and I got to thinking about we're Christ's body. And Paul said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And I realized that Satan, he said there in where I was reading about the thorn, a messenger of Satan was given in him to buffet him. He told the Ephesians in chapter 6, he said, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They're out to oppose us. And they make people. It's not the people, but it's the spirit that's in them and that leads these people. And they causes them to make decisions that will affect us and bring us heartache and bring us mental pain. And a lot of times people do things that they don't even realize they're under the influence of a demoniac spirit, and they make decisions and do their actions affects a member of the body of Christ. Don't you understand you're in a warfare today? And the demoniac forces is out there to try to stop you, to try to hinder you from getting the gospel out, and try to discourage you and to beat you down, and they use people. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it don't stop it because you don't believe it. Look with me before we go to Luke. Look with me in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, notice what he says in chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says there in verse 1, now the Spirit, notice that Spirit is a capital letter, S. That's the Holy Spirit. When you come across a capital S in your Bible, now, if you ain't got a King James, it's hard to tell what you're going to come across, but you probably won't even come across Spirit in there. But anyway, if you're a King James Bible, you have a capital S. That's referring to the Holy Spirit. And if it's the Spirit of man, it has a little S. But anyway, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now you can't depart from something that you ain't never been involved in. Well, what makes them depart? What makes people that trust Christ as their Savior and begin to come and see the knowledge of the truth and begin to learn about right division and about the faith and about the Apostle Paul, and all of a sudden they depart from it? And I guarantee you, you know people like that. There are people that's come here and has even been saved under the ministry of this church. And they get saved and they begin to see right division and they begin to see the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. And before you know it, they're back in the system again and they lost everything they knew. Now why? Look what he said. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Devils. For these devils is all, there must be preaching doctrine, right? Well, now listen, there's no spirits out here floating around and saying anything to me. I'm not going to stand around and let something, a voice just speak out of the thin air and I don't see nobody connected to it. I'm not going to hang around. I'm going to be like that little boy that was running. And he'd come across, he got going home and he'd come across a little graveyard. And this little boy, a ghost got at him. Jumped up and started, and boy, he started running. And he run as far as he could run. And he just sat down before he could get home. And that old ghost come sat right down beside him. And the ghost said, "Boy, we sure did run a long way, didn't we?" And that little boy said, "Yes." "And we're going to run some more as soon as I catch my breath." These spirits are not just, they're not ghosts. They're in people. They're real. There are demoniac forces out there that's called principalities and power. They're the ministers of Satan. And they're inside and causing men and women to preach things that lead people astray. Listen to me. There are people that make decisions and do things that will cause you pain and you don't even know why it happened, and it's nothing more than the devil trying to destroy you or to make you discouraged and get you where you want to quit. That's what I'm talking about. Look back, and so we're the members of the body of Christ. So ever how Satan tempted Christ, he's going to get you. Now one man, and look, before we go to Luke, we're going to go there, but look in Hebrews. Chapter 2. Notice about Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. "For in that he himself has suffered, being what? Tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted." And that word succored, it's give aid, it's to help. So he's able to help you when you're tempted. Why? Because he was tempted. Look in chapter 4, verse 15. "For we have not a high priest." Now, I'm not saying anything. We don't have a high priest. The point I'm wanting to make is the latter part. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He never sinned when he was tempted. But the point I want you to understand out of that verse is, he knows the infirmities that you face. And we have an infirmity in the flesh. our infirmity in the flesh is so great, we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said that we are weak in the flesh. Our flesh gets in the way. Well, Christ understands that. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you feel. He knows the pain that you go through. He knows the depression you might go through. He knows everything about you. And He wouldn't be God if He didn't know. He knows what you would be doing if you weren't here right now. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to do when you leave this place. He knows the beginning from the end. God don't see time frame by frame. He sees the beginning from the end. He sees all time at the same time. You can't fool Him. And there's nothing that's going to sneak up on you and attack you that He doesn't know and see well before it ever happens. So, we trust. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. He knows which path you're to take. You've got to direct Him. But our problem is we don't want to listen to Him. We don't want to wait on Him. We want to go and do our own thing when we want to do it, and we get in trouble. And God says, well, I knew it. But what can I do? Luke chapter 4, notice the temptation. Verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There are three temptations in this passage. And these three temptations cover every temptation that you will ever face. There are three general temptations that you as a believer will face just like Christ. Notice, and before we hang on to Luke, come over to 1 John. And these things is written. 1 John chapter 2. Look in verse 16. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. Three places in your Bible you'll find these temptations mentioned. It's three categories, and every trial, every temptation will fall under one of those. Now, one man said one time, Jesus Christ couldn't have been tempted in all points like Him. And they asked him, well, why do you make that statement? Because he never was married, and he don't know what being married was, and he wasn't tempted like I'm tempted. That's not what he's talking about when he says it ain't like being tempted 4,000 times. There are three categories. Now look at them. Verse 16. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Three, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You'll find these same ones in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Notice what happened there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Satan has never changed his tactics and never will. Notice in Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. There's the second one. Number one, she saw. Pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. There's the third one. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Satan tempted Eve with all three at once. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to make one wise. These three, you can category it as do it for yourself, get something for your flesh. Serving the flesh is a temptation that we all face every day. Look with me in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And the other place is in Luke chapter 4. So you have 1 John 2:16, Genesis 3:6, and Luke chapter 4. And you'll find those three categories. And folks, everything that ever affects you will come under one of them. Notice this, the flesh. Look what Paul says about the flesh. Verse 13, Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You're told not to make provision to fulfill your lust of your flesh. And we have to battle that all day long. Look in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, and if you're not in that kind of a battle, I'd check up. I'd check up about my salvation. You look in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The word lust, that has to do with desires. It has to do with craving. And what the Spirit of God's craving for you, the flesh is not craving. He's craving the opposite. It's a battle. Verse 17, for the lust of the flesh, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Folks, it keeps us from serving the Lord, and we are tempted by the flesh, and the flesh wants things that makes us feel good. That's why religion is booming today. The flesh don't want to be told it's rotten. The flesh wants to be, well, we do everything for the flesh. We bathe it, we powder it, we spray it, we just try to keep it from stinking. It's a vile body, Paul said. And he's going to change our vile body then fashion it like unto his glorious body. We're walking around with a flesh, an old man, an old nature that's rebelling against God, and it's tempted. And people say, well, thank God I got saved and I don't tempt no more. I don't have them die. They're lying through their teeth. They're just full of hot air. God never changed your flesh. Your flesh still desires what it desired before you got saved. And it's a battle. But Jesus Christ, notice how he dealt with it. The first thing about the temptation here, you got to realize Satan's standing there talking to the Word of God himself. He's the bread from heaven. And here's the devil saying, make this stone in the bread. And he's standing there talking to the bread of life. You know what it is? You know the first attack that Satan uses concerning the flesh is to put doubt in people's minds about the Word of God. We want to change the Word of God. We want to have a better Bible to be able to read it and understand it. And this thing's wrote in sixth grade English, and the reason be, it ain't that people can't understand it, it's they just won't believe it. Get something for your flesh that was good for food. Let God do it. The pride of life is like show off how wise you are. It's a temptation. I notice what he says. He come there and Jesus, verse 4, answered him saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It was against the true bread of God. Satan always attacks the flesh, be the lust of the flesh, against the Word of God, and against what Jesus Christ was really standing. Do you know something, folks? The world don't hate you. They hate your Lord. And the reason why they run you down is because they don't like Him. And the reason why you're persecuted or you have an attack against you mentally and seem like everything just coming against you, it's not because of you. It's not because you're human. It's not because who you are. It's because of who you serve. It's the Lord Jesus that they hate. And if they attacked Him, you're His body, they're coming after you. The devil taketh him up, verse 5, to a high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He's showing him. You see, the first one was the lust of the flesh, the fulfill of the flesh. The second one was the what he could see, the lust of the flesh, our eyes. Showeth him. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, the kingdom. For that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it. And he'll give it to the Antichrist in the near future. You see, he's the God of this world. And what was he wanting to do? If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. You see, that's Satan's desire from the very beginning to be worshipped. That's all he wants. And he moves kingdoms and he moves heaven and earth and he shakes and causes the water to boil up there and all of that just to get worship. And this world is worshiping him today. And he's behind the scenes, and all the kingdoms of this world, and that's the U.S. and every other nation on the face of the earth, is under his influence. He wants to be worshipped. The lust of the flesh. You know, turn with me and look at this thing that we see. False worship. Look in Colossians. It's idolatry. You know how Satan attacks people through what they can see? Look what he says in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Notice what he says in verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. The last commandment, thou shalt not covet. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Things you see and you desire, you lust after. And men lust after things and they don't even realize it. And they'll put them things before the Lord and serving the Lord. That's idolatry. It doesn't have to be just an idol. Idolatry. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter... look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Temptation. He hits you with the lust of the flesh. Wanting this, wanting that. Things that satisfy the hunger of the flesh. That old flesh will get addicted to anything. And people just feed it. They get addicted to, it gets addicted to food. I know. By the way, I'm on a little diet. And I mean, I'm like that man that was... You ever see that movie, Ghost? You remember the ghost that was in the train track? And finally he kicks the can and it busts that cigarette machine over and he gets down and he says, "Oh, what I would give for one drag." You remember that part? Y'all ain't seen the movie, have you? Well, I'm like him sometimes about food. What I would give just to sink my teeth into a Snicker bar. But I'm trying to... They said my sugar was too high, and so I've cut out bread. I'd just love to go and sit down and eat a Whopper. That's that flesh, folks. You say, "Well, you got to eat to live." No, no, no. I wasn't eating to live. I was living to eat. And you let that old flesh go, man, and it just craves and gets addicted to stuff. Satan knows it. And so I use this. But now I got to say, I told some, and don't let me lose till I look like I'm sick. You know, you see people lose weight, they look like, man, there must be something wrong. I'm trying to... Anyway, flesh. Lust of the eyes. Look in another temptation. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice verse 9. But they that will... There's that word. That's the word lust. They that will desire. Driving force. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. It destroys them because they give up everything just to be rich. I'd rather be rich toward the Lord than to be have millions in the bank and not have what the Lord would have me to have. I'd rather have that than have... I'd rather be saved and not have anything than to have what Bill Gates has got and be lost going to hell. You can't put a price tag on that. But the old flesh desires. Look what he said in verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Be better. Feel like they're above somebody else because they have more. High-minded. Nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You want to see a good example of high-mindedness, and I'm going to close with this. This has to do with the lost of the eyes. The pride of life has to do with wisdom. It has to do with he took him up on a pedestal at the temple and said, cast yourself down. You know what the devil wanted him to do? Wanted him to float down and men would marvel at him. Do you know what the pride of life is? We want the applause. We want the pat on the back. We want men to speak well of us. That's the pride of life. You want to see what high-mindedness is? Look at it with me quickly and turn with me to 2 Chronicles and look in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. And this is a good example . Notice in 2nd verse 1, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, what? He forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Come down to verse 6. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the kingdom and the king, Rehoboam, humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came unto Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them. Verse 12. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, but he would not destroy him altogether. Now, if you humble yourself, you shall be exalted. But if you exalt yourself, you're going to be brought down. That's what he said. God giveth grace unto the humble. Do you know what high-mindedness is? It's when you've got plenty and you're strengthened, you turn your back on the Lord. And you think you're better than somebody else. And you're above somebody else that don't have what you've got. That's high-mindedness. And the Lord, that's the lust of the eyes. Material things. That think that this life consists only in material things. Even Luke says about that. Then the pride of life, when he asked him to cast himself down at the temple, or men would accept him. Jesus Christ knew his end. He knew where he was headed, to the cross. Do you realize? No doubt in the garden he's tempted to give up. I mean, he's praying out there in the garden before the cross, and his sweat become as great drops of blood. I mean, he's out there in agony saying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thy will be done. He's out there begging and begging and begging, and he's crying. Hebrews says he's offering up strong crying to the Lord that's able to save him from death. He's not, listen, he's asking God that if there's any other way to do this other than me drinking of that cup. And you find that cup all through the Bible. It's the cup of God's wrath upon him. It's the mixture of God pouring out his wrath against his only begotten Son. And God turned his back upon his own Son on that cross in order to save you. And that's the only way. Tempted. God will make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. He's faithful. You ain't gone through nothing the Lord ain't experienced. Three categories. Old flesh. What you can see, boy, I like that. We got ways to get around some of that. We see somebody's got something. Well, used to, boy, I like to have that. And oh, that's covetousness. Oh, I just like to have one like it. Covetousness. Lust of the eye. Pride of life.